So Easter is a little like Christmas, and I don't just mean that we have this big holiday and then everything goes back to normal afterwards. In fact, Easter's not that way. Easter's something that carries on at least for a few more weeks in the church, and every Sunday as people of faith, and hopefully every day as children of God. But more importantly, what I'm getting at this morning is that we tend to jump through all of the Gospels to get the fullest picture as we can of the resurrection and what took place. So though we've been working through Mark this Lenten season, we came to the end of Mark last week. And there was no sighting of Jesus, only the empty tomb. And there was no word yet from the women, for they ran away in amazement and fear and told no one. So this morning, we jump into Luke. And what you need to know about Luke's Easter morning story is that it was indeed the women who went to the tomb. And when they got there, there was no sign of Jesus. And so they returned to get the other men, the other disciples, and Peter and John ran to the tomb and looked into the tomb, even went into the tomb, and they also found that the tomb was empty. But what the women told them, they thought was an idle tale. And so they didn't really pay much attention to them. And so this is where the story picks up this morning as these two disciples heading down the Emmaus Road. So I'm going to lose the last two lines of this poem as our prayer for understanding today. And now the ears of our ears awake, and now the eyes of our eyes are opened. Listen for God to speak to you through these words. Now on the same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" And they replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And now our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. And moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory? Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." Now, as they came near to the city to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he was going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them, and when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" And that same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and their companions gathered together, and they were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I feel like I need to sit down. Well, I just need to explain to you, you know, last week was pretty much, you know, full on for the whole weekend for me. You know, it started Thursday, and of course for us it started way beyond Thursday, and we were cruising Thursday and Friday, and then, you know, you've got a few moments on Saturday in which you've got to prepare for Easter, and then you're into Easter, and then of course I went home, and there were 12 people at my house for dinner, and then of course comes the candy. And I don't know about you, candy doesn't work the same way in me now as it did when I was little, right? When I was little, candy would kind of, you know, pump me up, get me going. Now it just makes me want to sleep. And I have to say, I've had a little bit of overdose of chocolate candy this week. So I'm feeling a little tired, a little drained, right? Thank goodness Easter is over. We can get back to a normal rhythm, right? I don't know about you, I got up Monday morning and thought, oh my gosh, we've got to do this again this week, right? Sometimes with church, it can be like that, right? It can be lots of energy and excitement, and we certainly had a fun time last Sunday, right? Okay. And we certainly had a moment of hope that God was doing something new in the church and in us. Because that's what the text told us, right? The text told us he has raised and he has gone before us. And yet when Monday rolls around and we're back into our routines again and stuff, and we're not so sure which direction Jesus took and which direction we're going. And I think that's clearly the experience of the disciples on the Emmaus Road. Now, they're not one of the 11, but in Luke, disciples were anybody who had been following Jesus throughout his ministry. It was a multitude of disciples, we were told on Palm Sunday in Luke. And so these two were indeed people who had been following Jesus and following all the events that had taken place, and even had heard word that the women had found the tomb empty. And so had Peter and John. And yet still, when Monday rolls around, we find them on their way back to Emmaus. Now, we're not told that that's where their home is, but we kind of imagine that. They're heading home. It's over. Even with these rumors, this idle tale, still, all is done, and they're back to life as usual. And to be quite honest, sometimes we're happy for that, aren't we? When things get back to normal, when we can go back to our routine and we don't have to take all this energy and, you know, all these extra worship services and all of this extra candy. We're happy to get back to what feels normal. And I'm imagining that these disciples were somewhat relieved that their life was going back to normal. Ha ha. God will have the last laugh yet. Because as they're walking along the road, we can just imagine slowly, heads down, trying to understand all that took place, trying to deal with the grief, and also this little bit of hope that seems to be flaring in them about, you know, what if he is alive again? What will that mean for us? And I don't know about you, but sometimes discipleship means I have to be going another direction than the way I want to go, right? Sometimes discipleship requires me doing what God needs me to do and not necessarily what I have in mind to do. So if I were these disciples and I was hearing this word that maybe Jesus was alive and maybe there'd be more going forward, perhaps I would have chosen to go home too. In fact, some mornings I think as people get up to go to think about going to church and they think, well, if I go to church, you know, God might speak to me. God might need me to do something. God might have expectations of where I've been and what I've been about, right? So sometimes staying in bed just seems the easier way to deal with it, right? But let me just remind you that God caught up to these two on the road home. You know, not in the typical places, you know, not in the church, not on the high mountain, but on the road. Luke is big about being on the road. Discipleship is always about a journey for Luke. For following Jesus takes us all kinds of places. And so here they are on the road, thinking they're heading home, when the stranger appears. Someone who seems to know nothing about what has been happening in their world these past few days. They're almost put off by this guy, right? And yet, he asked them, and of course, what do we want? We always want to tell our story, right? We're just waiting for somebody to ask us to share what's going on in our lives. And so as soon as Jesus asked them, it pours out of them everything that's happened these last few days, including this word that perhaps he's alive. Now, there are two ways you can read Jesus' response. One, it could be, "You foolish ones, so slow to believe." You know, it could be a reprimand, but I think it's more Jesus like, "Ah, you foolish ones, how slow you are to believe," right? I think Jesus is tired, but also tender, and concerned that they still don't understand, and is going to do whatever's necessary to help them understand. Now, it's interesting to me that he doesn't just show himself to them, because that would have resolved all their wondering, right? Except that you remember, these stories are being told for those of us who will never see him in that way. Never physically, bodily. So it's a call for all of us to think about how we see Jesus when we don't see Jesus. Right? So, he explains everything to them through the Scriptures. That's the first way we see Jesus, right? We look into the Scriptures and we discover these stories about Jesus. And not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament and how it points to Jesus and how it points to the way God is working. So if you're looking for Jesus, the Scriptures are a good place to start. And if you haven't been in the Scriptures lately, I encourage you to look, because they are exciting and fun and disturbing and powerful. So the first thing he does is he opens the Scriptures to them so that they can understand God's plan and God's way of being in the world, so that they can understand who this Jesus person was that they are so grieving. Because it's not just about his death, it's also about his life, right? And then he goes into the meal with them. Now there's that moment where he pretends that he's going on and waits for them to invite, because to be quite honest, inviting Jesus into our lives is a big part of being a person of faith. And you have to make that invitation every day. You have to make that invitation every day. "Jesus, come into my life. Walk with me today." You all know the old prayer, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." How many of you stop there? There's another line. Oh yeah, well then you start to, "and bless mommy, bless daddy," and that kind of thing, right? Well, there's another line that says, if I wake to another day, may the Lord guide my way. It's become a very powerful prayer for me now. Yeah, because it continues on. If I wake, no, see, I have to go back. If I die before I wake, Lord, my soul to take. If I wake to another day, I pray the Lord would guide my way. Okay? So, again, there's a need to invite Jesus into our lives on a regular basis. This sounds like Christianity 101, huh? But we need these reminders sometimes, because we get about living our lives and supposedly living in faith, and yet we've become disconnected from the one who gives us faith. So, invite Jesus in. And while they were at the table, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. So remember that gathering around the table as believers is an important part of how we understand who God is and how we experience God in our lives. And where do we do that? Here at church. And not just here, right? We do it in Calvin Hall. Sometimes we do it out on the lawn. Sometimes we do it at the coffee shop with friends when we've gathered to talk with them. Sometimes we do it around our own dinner table. And surprise, surprise, Christ is present, feeding us, encouraging us, being present with us. I love this story to Emmaus Road because I like to think about the disciples who are having this experience of Jesus and stuff. I'm sure it was amazing, and I'm sure they told everybody about it, but I'm sure they never imagined that it would be the witness that we all share today to help us in being raised in our faith. And your stories could be that for someone else as well, of how you have met the risen Christ along the way. Now I'm going to share something with you, and I don't share it for your sympathy or your concern because I'm in good shape, but I've been a person that has experienced challenges with depression. And it started when I was in college. I had one serious episode there that took a while for me to come out of. And then the one that I'm going to share with you today is one that took place in seminary. The stress was getting to me. Seminary is pretty stressful, is it not, Phil? Phil is going through all of this now, so I feel for you and I pray for you. But in the midst, somewhere in my second year, I kind of started to sink into this great depression because of the stress of school. I wasn't really doing very well in school. I wasn't really seeing the connection to what God was wanting me to do. I clearly was not gifted for the work that God wanted me to do if it was what was being taught to me at school. You know, I was struggling with my academics. I was struggling with, you know, the people around me, not because they were bad people, just because they were people that seemed clear about where they were going and what God was doing in their lives, and I was just sinking deeper and deeper. So one day, somebody suggested, well, you could go on an internship, and I thought, how is that going to be helpful? I'm struggling with my faith, I'm struggling with being in the church, and you're going to send me out into the church to be a leader with people. I don't know how that could be the least bit helpful, but someone suggested it just the same, and I needed to get out of seminary for a bit. So I interviewed with everybody else. They had about 20, 30 churches there for folks to interview with, and I interviewed with probably a half a dozen to a dozen of them, and later on that day, I got a call from a fellow saying he'd like to offer me the job. Well, I am lying upside down on the floor with my feet on the bed and a beer on my chest, and I have no idea who this guy is that's offering me a job, and I didn't really hear his name at the beginning, and I don't really know what church this is that's offering me a job, and I'm trying to discern, of course, while I'm trying to get myself upright without spilling my beer. And so we talk. It sounds like a good match. It sounds like it'd be a good experience for me. It's going to be on the eastern shore of Maryland and Virginia. I'll be near the beach. I'm thinking, how could this be bad, right? But I need to figure out who this is. So I ask how to spell his name, and he says, Hughes. H-U-G-H-E-S, Hughes. Oh yeah, that's a difficult one. But then I went off to serve two little churches as an intern with a colleague named Dick Hughes, who turned out to be a wonderful mentor. And I discovered the joy in the church and not just the stress and the craziness in the church. Little did I know that phone call or that word that somebody had given to me not too long ago was the stone being rolled away. Little did I know that these two tiny churches on the eastern shore of Maryland would be able to help me see the risen Christ in the world again. To find out that the stress and the work is all a part of it, but there's a lot more joy in it as well. There's meals around the table. There's Bible study where people are laughing and asking deep questions. Right? There's walking with Jesus along the beach. Nothing better. If you need to find Jesus, go to the shore. I assure you, Jesus is there. But I also discovered that Jesus was where I was too, where I was traveling, at the seminary. I just needed a few moments away from all of the craziness. And let me just say, those 3 days in Jerusalem must have felt like craziness. I just needed a few days off and backed up, which I did on Monday, so that I could open my eyes and hearts again to what God was doing. And so I could attend to the ways that Jesus was entering into my life in a new way. Did you ever have an experience like that? I don't know about you, but I've had resurrection experiences multiple times. Not all about depression, but other occasions where I felt like I was lost, where I felt like I was having trouble seeing God's purpose in the world, where everything that was going on around me seemed to be chaotic and evil and awful. And then somebody comes along and enters into a conversation with me that seems to open my eyes and my ears to where Jesus is working. Most recently, it's been the kids from the Parkland School. These are kids that are talking about life being different. That we don't have to settle for the violence and just say that's the way it is these days. That we can truly take action and speak out and speak with each other in ways that brings about change. They're reminding me again that our risen Lord was about bringing us peace and ending violence and the power that sin and death has in our lives. So this morning, I invite you to get up this in the morning remembering that this is a new day. The first day, the day the Lord was raised, to know that Jesus is walking with you, talking with you. That's that voice sometimes in your head, sometimes in your heart, sometimes in your gut. Okay? And if you're not sure whether it's Jesus, look in the scriptures a little bit. Get to know Jesus better. And if you're still not sure it's Jesus, come and be a part of a community where people can help you discern what Jesus is about in the world. And if you're still not sure, gather around the table and share a meal with Jesus. But we have to open our hearts and our minds, our ears and our eyes, because Christ is risen. Amen.